So I'm just going to piggyback on what you've already taught us here and hit some high points and give us some opportunity to worship the Lord a little bit more and share what's on our hearts. What I see in this story, I see there's coming change. And most of us, I think we fall into a spectrum of how we like change, whether, yeah, bring on the change, or please, I don't like change at all. And obviously, at least for me, it makes a big difference whether I get to be that agent of change, whether I have some sort of control or I feel I have control, or if changes are being done to me. Is anybody else that way? Yeah. If I can implement the change, you know, let's go ahead and do it. But if I'm the one, you know, change is being done to, I'm a little bit more hesitant. And I think that's human nature. We, you know, how we react to change is different. We're going to see four different folks, how they react to change. God, the Lord wants them to change, do something different. We're going to see the wise men. We're going to see Herod. We're going to see the Jews in Jerusalem and also the Jewish leaders and how they react to the change that the Lord wants. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have documented so clearly what you have done, how your word has stood the test of time. We thank you for calling these wise men, for reaching these folks who didn't quite know you or know you as well, but you used them mightily to bring glory and honor to you. May you speak through me this morning. May you speak to our hearts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So these wise men, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 2. If you want to follow along, verses will be up there. If you want to read in your Bible, you're free to do so. Says, now after, as Mr. Russ had already read, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east and came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. So in this passage we see, I believe it's been a couple of years have passed. We don't have the baby Jesus. We have the child Jesus are coming here. We have the location of his birth. We got Bethlehem listed there. For Matthew, he's writing to the Jews about the testaments of what Jesus has done in his earthly ministry here. So he was born in Bethlehem. When is it happening? During the reign of Herod the king. And we know he was, the Roman Senate actually gave him the name King of the Jews. So Herod was king of the Jews by the Roman government for 35 years or so. He ruled as king of the Jews on earth. And then it says, doing some research, he fought for about 3 years to make this title stick. They didn't really feel comfortable having this guy be king over them. He was a descendant of Esau. He was an Edomite. Didn't really have rightful call to the throne. But because of the Roman government, there he was. He was known as a friend and ally to Rome, which wasn't necessarily a friend and ally to the Jews. He was a great military leader. He did help suppress robbers and bandits. So here we go. We got Herod. That's who he was. We are introduced to the wise men, these magi, these specialists in astronomy. And I just love how neat God uses each of us. He's put us in specific places where we get information that he uses for his glory. So these guys who know about astronomy, God's going to use, all right, well, you guys know about astronomy, I'm going to have a star lead you over. God knows how to get out of people that he wants to use, even if they're not followers of his. He knows how to reach them. How did he reach me, a 21-year-old man who wanted nothing to do with God? Girls. I had interest in girls. I had interest in Rachel. Jesus was very important to her, so I'm not going to be combative. I want to learn more about you. I'm going to ask about your faith. And God used that to kind of creep in. He knew how to get to me. It wasn't going to be a direct, here's how I'm going to reach you. God knows how he's so rich, and he knows how to reach folks. So we have these magi from the east, the specialists in the stars, and as Mr. Russ mentioned, they have the teachings from Daniel and from the Jews, knowing that, hey, there's this star going to be coming. Numbers 24:17, that the star would come out of Jacob. There's fulfillment here. So they were aware of this. God, I'm sure that probably piqued their interest. Got the star and everything else going on. So God is using them to bring glory and honor, to reveal to this world who he was. And as we know, these are Gentiles. These are not folks coming to Jerusalem, coming to the capital of Israel, looking for the king of Israel. Verse 2, looking for him who has been born king of the Jews. Not made king of the Jews by the Roman government, but the one who has the rightful heir to the throne. We're looking for the king. They don't say we're looking for baby Jesus. They don't give the name. They give the great, wonderful title. Similarly, Luke, he says often, the angel. I think Gabriel's only mentioned by name once, but just here's the messenger of God. Here's the important thing. He's the messenger. Well, here's the king of the Jews. He is the ruler, the rightful ruler. We're looking for this ruler, this king, this one who has been born king of the Jews. Well, how do they know this? As we said, we saw his star. And they come with a wonderful purpose. They've come to worship him. All right, this rightful king, he's been born, and we just want to worship him. And this theme of worship comes over and over and over again this Christmas season. Mary's response, she's treasuring things in her heart, worship. The shepherds, they come to worship this baby. Getting this information leads them to worship of God. And I pray that should always be our first reaction. Wow, look how awesome you are, God. Look what you've done. That these words wouldn't become just, oh yeah, of course, yeah. God used a star to bring these guys over. That's what he does. Even though we didn't cover it, we know John the Baptist, I believe, in the womb of Elizabeth, he jumped when Jesus came in the presence. He was worshiping Jesus. Worship is all around here in this narrative of Christ's birth. The purpose in coming was to worship him. So here we come. They come to worship the one born king of the Jews. And how do folks respond? Well, it says when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him. All the capital of this of the Jewish nation is troubled. Herod, obviously, rightfully so. He's the one, he's been placed in power. He's earned it with his military might. He's done all these things. He's troubled. Well, are the Jews going to rise up, put him in place of me? Nobody likes to lose power. Nobody likes to be knocked off. So he's troubled. Oh, no, here comes the one. And as we're going to see, Herod, he grew up with the Jewish culture. He's been their king for 30, 35 years. He knows all of their teachings. He knows that they're expecting a Messiah. He's expecting a king. This is what they're expecting. So he's greatly troubled. He's going to lose his position. But I find it troubling that Jerusalem is troubled. Of course Herod's going to be troubled, but all Jerusalem with him, all of these Jewish people, which is an interesting response if you're waiting for your king. All right, here he comes, and they're troubled. But I guess it's kind of human nature. It's one thing to hope and dream, oh, this is exciting, it's coming, and now that it's here, oh no, well, here's the realities of the situation. God, could you have come at perhaps a better time, an easier time? Maybe a lull in between kings. I'm sure they're troubled about, well, what's Herod going to do? He has the might of the Roman army behind him. What's going to happen to us when God comes and puts his person in control? Things are kind of comfortable. Things are stable right now. I don't want to change. I don't want change to happen. I'm doing okay right now. They're troubled because, well, what might this mean for them? Fear is creeping in. And so with this, we can see where they're, a slight glimpse into where their confidence in God is. All right, God's finally bringing his king, his chosen king in here. 400 years of silence, 1,000 so years of predictions coming. But here it is, and all right, God, can you actually do it? But we probably shouldn't be too hard on them. It has been about 400 years where they haven't really heard much from God. They haven't really seen him mighty in action. All they're kind of seeing, oh, We have Zechariah over here. He was silent for 9 months. He and his wife are both older. They shouldn't be having kids. They haven't had any kids, and now they're pregnant, and they have this child. So God's already paved the way. They should be, God's on the move now. But they're troubled because I think perhaps they don't know what lengths Herod will go to keep his crown. What will this mean for them? And those of us who have read ahead, we know what lengths Herod's going to go to keep his crown. Let's go ahead and murder babies so that way I don't lose my power. That's pretty extreme. I think they know the character of this man. What does this mean for us and our families? So they're troubled. Herod's troubled. In verse 4, in assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he, Herod, inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Well, this is the first time of the Christ being mentioned. They just said, we're looking for him who's born king of the Jews. Herod, on his own, being in the Jewish culture, he knows that the king of the Jews is the Christ, this promised Messiah who's going to come to save their people. Where's this Christ going to be born? Goes to the Jewish leaders with that. He has a lot of knowledge, Mr. Russ. He has a lot of knowledge. And he goes to the men, the leaders, who also have an incredible amount of knowledge. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, and O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you by no means are least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. They say Bethlehem is where he's going to be born. You're going to have this great ruler. It's interesting, if you do a little research, verse 6, this where Matthew quotes, this is from two different sections. We have the first three verses is from Micah 5:2, but then he adds in Ezekiel at the end, who will shepherd my people Israel. So it's not just that he's going to be this new ruler. Okay, great, we have another king. They've had kings since Saul. Some better, some worse, some really bad, some really good. He's going to shepherd his people, shepherd the people of Israel. So we get this ruler, this king, with this imagery of the shepherd, the protector. That's what a shepherd is. This guide. He's a leader, cares for the people, also corrects the people when they're a little bit out of line, but this is a shepherd. So Matthew includes it because I believe also the prophets included, or I'm sorry, the Jewish leaders included this. Not sure why. I don't have a good explanation other than they just did it. I don't know. The Lord laid it on their heart, but now we have, here's not just going to be this king, but he's going to be this great, wonderful shepherd. He's going to be everything that they've dreamed of and more. That's what Jesus is. He's everything that we've dreamed of and more. Wonderful protector, wonderful God, wonderful leader. Cares for us incredibly. Wise enough to know when to correct us, to discipline us when we're getting a little bit out of line. And here he comes, so we have the exact the place. So now verse 7, then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them the time when the star had appeared, trying to figure out, okay, well, when was this baby born? Whenever the star came. And so Herod fully believes all this stuff. He believes, okay, here's this king who's going to come. I believe there's a star that led you over here. He fully believes everything. Whereas the Jewish people, their reaction is troubled. They're fearful. As we're going to see, the Jewish leaders, they don't go seeking. Whether they believe it or not, I'm not sure. Seems to be indifferent. But he summoned the wise men what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And we have found him. Bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Search diligently. And don't stop until you find him. I believe he's there. I need you guys to go ahead and sniff him out. Bring me word that I too may come and worship him. So we got a little lying, some deception going on. Don't rest until you find this young boy. And then after listening to the king, they went on their way, the wise men. Behold, the star that they had seen when it rose before them went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. The star continued to lead them to Jesus. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Worship. You've brought us here. You've brought us all the way across from the east. You brought us to the King, who we found out where we need to go. And here we are. We've arrived at this King. And their first reaction is great joy, the worship. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. They opened their treasures. They offered him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They continue their worship. Worship is more than just songs on Sunday morning, songs on the radio, songs on your smartphone. Worship is that attitude of the heart. Giving is an act of worship. Just praising with the mouth is just basically anything we do for the glory of God is a way to worship Him. We worship the Lord when we use our treasures, our talents for His glory. Even though it might not seem, well, I'm just a businessman doing my thing. Well, are you honoring the Lord in your honest business dealings? Are you doing what you ought to? Well, it's an act of worship for God. You're serving Him with what He's given you. They truly worship Him. The star finds him, and as we talked about last week, God knows how to accomplish His purposes. The shepherds, he used, the angels came, and you're going to find this little baby in the swaddling cloth in the manger. It's going to be very specific. But with these wise men, it's the star. So God knows how to accomplish His purposes, but he has such a richly infinite number of ways to do that. It's not going to be the same thing with me as it is for you all. As you're seeking, as perhaps you're praying, Lord, reach my family, my friends that don't know you. Bring a boy or girl into their life that you can lead them. He might do that. That's what He did for me, but God knows how to reach. So we should take confidence in, wow, look how the Lord reached around. Look what the Lord did over here. He brought the wise men, the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, Elizabeth. Look what He's done. He has an infinite number of ways to do it. He's just so rich in everything. He suspends the laws of natural physics to bring forth baby Jesus to do many things. He even does this with those who aren't His children yet. He can do it with the wise men. He can do it with us. They enter the house and they have the worship and continue the worship with their gifts. This wealth given to the Messiah, the gold, His deity, His purity, the frankincense, that fragrance of His life, and the myrrh, I believe symbolic of His death, those embalming things, but also very rich. The Lord's providing for them. Once again, in rich ways, He's going to provide for their exodus to Egypt to take care of them for a few years. God knows how to take care of all of this. This young couple, He's going to make sure they have what they need to take care of their little boy. God doesn't place us with things in our lives if He doesn't have a way for to help us accomplish His purposes. It's going to stretch us. It's going to grow us. It's going to take us outside of our comfort zone. But that's what the Lord does, to help us trust in Him as He brings changes into our lives. And then verse 12, being warned in a dream not to return by Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So it's not the star kept them, took them out. They were spoken to in a dream, and they just knew it was from God, and they followed the direction and went another way. God knows how to accomplish what He's doing. So as we close out the message, responding, how do we respond to the change that God brings? Like I said, there's four people here in our message from this morning. Mr. Russ touched on the key point. Information does not lead to transformation. Information doesn't turn us into wise people. We can have all the information in the world, but if I don't do anything good with it, it doesn't help me. Herod knew an awful lot about Jesus, about the prophecies. He knew this was the Messiah. He knew it was the Christ. He even believed in the wise men. He believed all this stuff. But He didn't allow it to transform him. Wow, God, how awesome are you? Rather, no, you're not going to take away my power. You're not going to take away what I have. No way, Jose. So we have Herod on this far right. He's going to stop this change at all costs. I see this change on the horizon. God, you've brought forth this child to be king. No, I'm going to do whatever I can to stop it. Then we have on the farther side, the wise men. All right, Lord, whatever you want. We got this change. All right, God, whatever you want. If this is from you, I'm going to follow this star across to this capital city, which I'm not a resident of, to bring these rich treasures to a baby I've never met, I have no connection with. I'm not Jewish, I'm a Gentile. But this is what you want me to do. Whatever you want, God. Paul tells us in Romans 12:1, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. I'm a sacrifice, God, whatever you want, but I'm living so I can move and do whatever you want. Not a rigid sacrifice, which I think we're pretty good at. Okay, yeah, I can do whatever you want as long as it's within my pre-programmed what I like to do. I don't think these wise men were regularly making trips to Jerusalem. All right, is this year? Is he here yet? No. The star came and they followed it because they knew what they had read, what has been passed along, and here comes the star. And then somewhere in that middle of that changed spectrum, we have the Jews. They're troubled. They're locked in with fear. The whole city of Jerusalem, not just a few. They gave into their fears of what it will mean for them. They have a glass half full, glass half empty situation. Yeah, there's always going to be consequences. Some consequences are good, some consequences can be bad. Wise men were willing to lay it all on the table. These Jews were not. Then we have the religious leaders who should have been excitedly ran to find Jesus. They should have stopped at nothing like the wise men were instructed to. But I believe they cared more about themselves than God. Kind of a smaller version of here. Well, this change. Well, I don't want to. I have the power. People are coming to me now. What this? If we have this new king, this king of the Jews, what's that going to mean for me? Kind of indifferent. I don't know. Maybe now we can. If you have a better word for that, but they just. Okay. Yeah. Here's what it says. Go and do whatever. But there's not this. They didn't even. Herod believed more than the Jewish leaders believed. My goodness. But the Lord used these wise men, these magi, these Gentiles, gave up everything. So I would encourage us as we're in a season of change here, aren't we? Whether it's here at the church or at our homes, who knows what Bay County is going to look like in a few years, our personal lives. Doors are opening and closing, whether we want them to open or close or not. Things are different. And I know it's each of our hearts, you know, change is not easy. I would encourage you to go back here, present yourself every day as a living sacrifice. All right, Lord, whatever you want. I love how it follows with holy and acceptable, because in Jesus' eyes, each of you are holy. You're set apart for his good. If you're a follower of him, if you believe in Christ, you are set apart for him. You are acceptable in Jesus' eyes, regardless of the nonsense you engage in the day before, the week before, a month before. You're still holy and acceptable. Jesus' blood still covers you, and he still wants to use you. Even if perhaps yesterday you didn't quite, maybe you were more of a Herod with the change yesterday. But the Lord wants to use each of us. He wants to have this mentality of the wise men. Lord, whatever you want. I'll do whatever. I'll give whatever. I'll travel whatever. I'll do whatever. If that's what you're guiding me and leading me to do. But information doesn't lead to transformation. You can go to your Bible every day, all day long, if you want to learn more about God. But if you're not willing to let it penetrate deep into your heart, well, then it's just knowledge. Transformation begins with the heart, this heartfelt response towards God. Transformation begins with worship, fueled and kindled by the information. Just, wow, how awesome are you, Lord? So we're going to have a couple of songs here in just a moment and give you all an opportunity to share whatever's on your heart. It could be an opportunity. This has been tough, or man, I've seen the Lord come through, or whatever the Lord placed on your heart. We'll have a microphone. You can come up to the front, or thank you, Tom. You found a wireless one that works, so we can bring it to your seat here, and you can just share what the Lord has laid on your heart. Let me pray, and we'll have a couple of songs of worship. Lord, change is tough for all of us. And you've brought us into a big season of change. I pray that you would work supernaturally in our hearts to say, I trust you. I don't understand what's going on. I don't get it. But fortunately, you're God and I'm not. I trust you. Give us the hearts of these magi. Give us the hearts of these wise men to trust in you and to follow you. May you change us as a result of being here this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.